Lana Del Rey is one of the biggest names in music right now. She packs venues around the world. She sings in the new Disney movie, Maleficent. And now, her latest CD, Ultraviolence.
Down on the West Coast, they got a saying, if you're not drinking, then you're not playing. But you got the music, you got the music in you, don't you? Down on the West Coast.
All of this from a woman who used to be known as Lizzie Grant and remade herself in part with a viral video sensation called Video Game.
Singing in the old bars, swinging with the old stars, living for the fame. Kissing in the blue dark, playing, pulling wild dots, video games.
Lana Del Rey is about to embark on a European tour, but first, we're so glad that she's come by to chat with us from the studios of NPR West. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Allen Ginsberg was an early influence.
Yes, he was an early influence, and the whole beat poetry movement, and Vladimir Nabokov, and Walt Whitman.
Do we hear this in your music, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think the thing I really got from Ginsberg was that you can tell a story through kind of painting pictures with words, and when I found out that you could have a profession doing that, it was thrilling to me. And I mean, it just became my passion immediately, playing with words and poetry.
He used a comedian that stood for deadly nightshade, 'cause I was filled with poison but blessed with beauty and rage. Jim told me that he hit me and it felt like a kiss.
There's some tough stuff here.
Yeah.
And not everybody has thought it's a good idea to have lines like, he hit me and it felt like a kiss.
Definitely. But that's been the theme of my career. The thing about me is, like, coming from an alternative music background and singing for 9 years, like, being basically invisible, I'm so used to writing for myself, and at the end of the day, I do it because I feel like I have to. So when I'm recording or writing, I don't have other people in mind. It's not always comfortable for me, but I don't kind of not say what I want to.
You're perfectly entitled to say, listen to the song, by way of answering this, but since this is an interview, what are you trying to say in a song like this?
Well, there's so many things, really. I guess one of them is like a personal experience I had with a person who believed in breaking you down to build you back up again. And although that like mindset didn't really agree with me, there was something freeing in letting go for me, in this particular sort of guru-esque character. It's a little bit about being in love with the act of surrendering. It's about being confused about whether that's a good idea.
There's some people who are very uncomfortable with the idea of women surrendering.
I know. I don't feel uncomfortable with it. The act of surrendering sort of puts me in a different mindset that allows me to be more of a channel, because I'm not holding on so tightly to things. Mm-hmm. I'm letting go. And I find, like, in letting go, I become more of a channel for life to really happen on life's terms. Yeah. I mean, maybe that sounds sort of metaphysical, but that's just honestly how I feel.
Let's play a little bit of another song, if we could.
Okay.
Pretty When You Cry.
All the pretty stars shine for you, my love. Am I that girl that you dream of? All those little times you said that I'm your girl, you make me feel like your whole world.
The way that you heard it recorded is the way that I freestyled it So I made it up on the spot with my guitar player and left it as it was with that session drummer and just called it a day on that song. 'Cause I'm pretty when I cry. I'm pretty when I cry. Like, the vocal inflection has its own narrative. You know, it's not all lyric driven. It's just kind of moments in time that are meaningful to me, left as they were, kind of untouched. You know, the fact that I didn't go back and try and sing it better is really the story of that song, because that's sort of me revealing to you a facet of myself. You know, I don't care that it's not perfect, and that's why that song is more important in that way than maybe just what I'm actually saying.
Is Lana Del Rey a character played by Elizabeth Grant?
No. Lana Del Rey is exactly who she's supposed to be, free enough to be her own person. And that's exactly who I am. You know, I'm not like a persona. I'm not a caricature of myself.
I'm interested in the dramatic quality in your songs. And let's play one more if we could.
Okay.
Old Money.
Old Money.
Blue hydrangea, gold cash divine. Cashmere cologne and white sunshine, red racing cars, sunset and vine. The kids were young and pretty. Where have you been? Where did you go? Summer nights seem long ago, and so is the girl you used to call the Queen of New York City.
When you have a gift, and I think even people that can be a little exacting with you on what they think of as your lyric content. I mean, part of it is they believe you have a great gift. Do you feel it's something you owe it to yourself, you owe it to the world to keep in good repair and to give people something?
Not really. I feel a strong relationship with God, and I feel my ties are with him. Mm-hmm. That's how I honestly feel. Everything I do it for somebody I've never met before. You know, it's something in the great beyond. That's my primary relationship, really, is with something divine. I feel a connection as real with that as I've ever had with anybody on this earth.
Lana Del Rey, her new album, Ultraviolence, speaking with us from NPR West. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for your questions.